You are listening to Rio Bravo Q Week Podcast, your weekly dose of knowledge brought to you by the Rio Bravo Family Medicine Residency Program in Bakersfield, California, a UCLA-affiliated program sponsored by Clinica Sierra Vista. Let us be your healthcare home. This podcast was created for educational purposes only. Visit your primary care provider for additional medical advice.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Rio Bravo Q Week. My name is Hector Arriaza. I'm an associate program director and faculty in the Rio Bravo Family Medicine Residency Program. Today, my co-host is Cameron Carlisle, who is a fourth-year medical student finishing his last rotation of medical school tomorrow. Right, Cameron?
Yeah, it's pretty bittersweet. Yeah.
So welcome, Cameron, again, and please introduce yourself.
Yeah, thanks for having me on this podcast today, Dr. Arriaza. So, my name's Cameron Carlisle. I'm a fourth-year medical student at Ross University School of Medicine. And, yeah, this is my last rotation here at Rio Bravo. So tomorrow is my last day of medical school. It's crazy.
Congratulations. That's a great milestone for you. So, and I wish you good luck in your residency.
Thank you very much.
Hopefully in June, right?
Yeah, hopefully in June.
June 2026. So you will be the class of 2029.
Yeah, so, that seems far away.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Okay, well, Cameron, so what are we talking about today?
Yeah, so today, did you know, Dr. Arriaza, that you're probably carrying around a chemical in your body that mimics estrogen? In fact, a 2004 CDC study found that over 92% of Americans had detectable levels of bisphenol A, also known as BPA, in their urine. So today's topic is BPA. It's honestly everywhere. From receipts, plastic water bottles, canned foods, baby bottles, and even in our dental teeth fillings, which is kind of crazy to think about. But it's one of the most ubiquitous endocrine-disrupting chemicals, EDCs, which interfere with the body's hormone systems. So that's why today's episode is about making the invisible visible. So our goals today for the podcast is to first break down what BPA is, and then to show how it affects the human body, and to also explain how you and patients can limit exposure to BPAs, and to empower both clinicians and the public with real practical information on BPAs.
Thanks for clarifying what BPA is today. Actually, I've seen the label every time I go to the grocery store. You know, it says BPA free, and I'm like, cool, but I'm not sure where it is. But let's avoid BPA. So today we're going to clarify what BPA is, and hopefully everybody leaves this episode knowing more than before. So, I'm 46 years old right now, and I remember in my childhood, it was in the news, yellow number 5 causes cancer and all that. So, but it's still available. It's actually being added in the foods in the United States currently. So it was a big problem, and it seems like every few years we discover a new chemical that is causing problems in humans. So today we're going to talk about BPA, and hopefully we can clarify all the doubts that we have about it. So let's start with the definition. Cameron, what's BPA?
Yeah, so bisphenol A, BPA, it's an industrial chemical that's been in use since the 1950s. Primarily in polycarbonate plastics and epoxy resins. So it makes plastic clear, and it's often seen in water bottles, canned food linings, baby bottles before 2012, as well as takeout containers, cash register receipts, whether you're at a Starbucks, Target, or the gas station, as well as dental sealants for the teeth fillings.
Yeah, plastics is like, it's a big word right now. You know, we always are hearing about plastics, about microplastics, and how much plastic is in the ocean, right?
Yeah.
So I heard that at some point there's going to be more plastic in the ocean than fish. So
wow.
Yeah. And so there is supposed to be like an island that is floating around the ocean that is it's like the size of a little island that is all full of plastic. So, it's good that you're going to talk about BPA today. So, and hopefully we can learn how to avoid BPA for our good, for our health. Okay, so shed some lights about it. Like, what's BPA and what's so bad about it?
Yeah, I'm actually I'm excited to discuss this topic because, too, like, I don't realize how every day I've been exposed to this. And after doing research, it's kind of scaring me now of how much BPA I could have in my body. But honestly, what's alarming is that BPA does leach out of these products. So whether you're drinking plastic water bottle that's exposed to heat, acidity, or just if you use it over and over again, you can have increased leaching of BPA in your water. A Harvard study found that people who drank from plastic bottles for just a week, 1 week, had a 69% increase in urinary BPA levels, which I found was an interesting statistic.
Yeah, that's a lot of people, 69%. So that's a bunch of people. So what happens when BPA gets into your body, Cameron? What's wrong with them? What changes in our bodies?
Yeah, BPA is classified as an endocrine disruptor, meaning it can bind estrogen receptors and either mimic or block natural hormone functions. It affects reproductive systems, both male and female, neurodevelopment, thyroid signaling, pancreatic beta cell function, which, you know, is an important role in either metabolic syndrome or type 2 diabetes, as well as just overall metabolism and fat storage. Low-dose exposure can disrupt cellular function. So BPA acts as a xenoestrogen. So the prefix word xeno means foreign. So it's a foreign estrogen in the body. And it's been shown to alter DNA methylation, which leads to epigenetic changes that can persist across generations.
Oh, that's interesting. So BPA can cause epigenetic changes that can be inherited. So BPA can persist for generations in your offspring, right?
Yeah.
So, crazy. Yeah, the consequences can be not only for you, but only for your children and your children's children and et cetera. So that's good to know, Cameron. So you mentioned something about estrogen. It acts like an estrogen. So it can explain in part, I guess, you know, some feminization of our population in general, right?
Yeah.
So let's talk about the other health impacts. So you mentioned reproductive health. So, but what else? What can happen with our bodies when we're exposed to BPA?
Yeah, so here's where it gets very serious. So first, in regards to reproductive health, for females, it can be linked to diagnoses like PCOS or either infertility or even early puberty. For males, it can lead to reduced sperm count and motility. As well, it can change testosterone levels. In regards to pregnancy and birth outcomes, a study in 2013 showed that there was an increased risk of preterm birth, gestational diabetes, and even a low birth weight for babies if the mom was exposed to increased BPA levels. Mm-hmm. And also studies show that BPA can indeed cross the placenta, which can directly affect the fetus, which I found was, I didn't realize that this was actually, that it can actually cross the placenta. It was an interesting fact I never knew.
Yeah. So yeah, babies, fetuses get exposed to a lot of toxic substances, right?
Yeah.
Including BPA. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a shocking fact for me indeed for that one. In regards to neurological development, increased BPAs have been associated with ADHD, anxiety, and impaired executive function in children exposed in utero. Also, in regards to metabolism and diabetes, BPA exposure is linked to insulin resistance, obesity, and even type 2 diabetes, even at low doses of BPA exposure. And also cancer. So animal and human data have linked BPA to increased risk of breast and prostate cancer via estrogenic mechanisms. And in regards to mortality, a 2020 JAMA study showed individuals with higher BPA levels had a 49% increased risk of all-cause mortality compared to those with lower levels.
Well, Cameron, let me tell you something. You're scaring me.
I'm scaring myself too.
So I wonder why my BPA level is in my blood. But actually, we were reading about it, right? BPA can be detected in urine.
Yeah.
And this is the most common approach for population level biomonitoring. Because BPA and its metabolites are mostly excreted in urine. So studies have found that BPA is present in most people, even up to 85 to 99% in large cohorts. So that's almost everyone, right?
That's literally everyone.
So, wow. And you mentioned several organs or systems. So, you know, it seems like, I hope that this can be like a part of the solution for common conditions like ADHD, you know, that is so prevalent now. Anxiety is everywhere. So many patients that come for our, to our clinic, they have anxiety. So, and also, you know, problems like diabetes and obesity. You know, if we can link this BPA exposure to these conditions, which is already established, you know, but we can reduce the BPA exposure, maybe we can make a dent into, you know, the statistics by eliminating some of that risks.
Exactly.
So, yeah, 85 to 99% can be exposed to BPA. So how do we get exposed to BPA? You mentioned something about plastic bottles, but what other sources of BPA can we find in our community?
Yeah, no, yeah, those are great points. Honestly, like BPA isn't too many things that we use every day. So first, like thermal receipts, where like you get a printed out a receipt from either, let's say, Target or Starbucks, that BPA on the receipt can actually transfer onto your skin and be absorbed, especially if your hands are wet, just like mine, especially like in Bakersfield. Like, let's say like on a hot day, the other day I was getting a gas, the temperature was about like 102 degrees. Mm. My hands were sweaty and I actually pulled the receipt out and I can see the ink like leach on my skin.
And you were like, ew, go to the garbage.
Oh yeah. Especially after doing this research for this podcast, I was like trying to wash my hands right away because I knew about, I probably just obtained a lot of BPA there. But also in canned soups. So there was a study that showed that eating canned soup daily for 5 days led to a 1,000% increase in urinary BPA levels, which I found was just insane.
Yeah, because you might think, oh, I'm eating healthy, I'm, you know, I'm drinking soups, but you're being exposed to BPA.
I know, right? Yeah. Like people are trying their best to eat healthy, either it's a fruit or veggies, and still they're getting BPAs. But also plastic water bottles. So if the water bottles are left in the car on hot days, or let's say plastic food trays you get for takeout food from the restaurant, even though it says a microwave is okay or safe, it can still lead to chemicals being leached into your food. So you're still absorbing BPAs that way. Mm. Also baby bottles and pacifiers. So before 2012, there was BPA in bottles and pacifiers. So that was a primary concern for newborns, but FDA did ban it after 2012. But
so Cameron, I think you probably were exposed to BPA as a baby.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah. And I'm sure my mom, I think she drank a lot of plastic water bottles.
Oh, yeah, and I did too, for sure. I used to use a pacifier until I was, I'm embarrassed to say it, but until I was 5 years old.
I think myself as well, yeah. Still use pacifier a lot.
Yeah, so so BPA is present in many products that we use every day. So what else, what other interesting facts do you find about BPA?
Yeah, so here's the jaw dropper. A study showed from the University of Newcastle that we ingest up to 5 grams of plastic per week, which is roughly the weight of a credit card. So this includes microplastics like BPA, which you can get through food, water, even air. So it's kind of crazy. Like there's some days where I have so many plastic water bottles, I may be like ingesting 2 credit cards or 3 per week.
Yeah, wow,
but it's
yeah.
just crazy to think
so,
about.
So, and we actually did the math. And it translates into 40 pounds of plastic in a lifetime.
Oh my gosh.
By the age of 70. So I remember this, reading this when I was a kid. Like it was like the equivalent of a credit card in your lifetime. But actually we read it's 40 pounds in a lifetime by the age of 70.
Jeez.
So, but you know, we're family physicians, or at least I am. And hopefully you are in the future too, a family physician. So after... Yeah. Your residency. So what can we do, Cameron, as family physicians?
Yeah, so as family physicians, we're at the front lines of prevention. So our roles include anticipatory guidance. So just to guide and educate patients, especially during prenatal visits, well child visits, and chronic disease management, to educate them on BPA exposure. Screening opportunities to ask about storage habits, microwave use, if they're microwaving plastics, which can leach into their food, and also receipt handling to educate on trying to limit receipt use and to click the option for getting a digital receipt in their email. Also environmental health counseling. So the AAFP recommends addressing endocrine disrupting chemicals when they are relevant to a patient's concerns. It's not just about treating diabetes or obesity. It's about recognizing that environmental exposure may be a root cause.
Yeah, and prevention is my favorite topic. So we were reading about AAFP recommendations. You know, they don't have a formal recommendation for like a screening test, you know, like test BPA in urine for everybody. No, we're not saying that, but we are recommending, just like the AFP, you know, addressing, you know, potential exposure to chemicals. And especially if the patient is bringing that up to the conversation, you know, there are some things that can be, you know, toxic for your bodies, including BPA. So it's good to have those conversations during our well child visits, like you mentioned, prenatal, or any kind of visits that we have in clinic.
Yeah. A helpful clinical practice would be to encourage families to switch to glass or stainless steel bottles. As said before, to avoid microwaving plastics and to buy fresh or frozen foods instead of canned at the grocery store.
Yeah, those are great counsel, great advice, Cameron. So what else can we do to reduce BPA exposure?
Yeah, so some practical steps to reduce BPA exposure. So first would be to switch to BPA-free products. But to be careful, as replacements like BPS or BPF, also known as the cousins of BPA, they may also be present and can be harmful as well. Also, to avoid microwaving or dishwashing plastic containers, to use digital receipts, as said before, and to filter tap water using carbon filters, which can reduce microparticle ingestion on a daily basis, as well as to choose fresh produce over canned goods when possible. Also, if a person does touch a receipt or handles a receipt, it's best to wash your hands after and to try to not eat or touch your face, as you can absorb more BPA that way.
That's great. That's great. I think, I hope we can all remember that. And, you know, one interesting fact is to discuss, what is the government doing to protect us here in the U.S. or in other places? Is there any regulations or laws about this BPA?
Yeah, that's a great question. The regulations are slowly catching up. So the FDA in the United States did ban BPA in baby bottles and sippy cups in 2012. The European Union, though, does have stricter limits. And France banned BPA in all food packaging back in 2015. So they already banned it back in 10 years ago. However, there are, in California specifically, Proposition 65, which does require BPA warning labels.
Yeah, and Proposition 65 is actually very interesting, because when I moved to California 10 years ago, I was like, what is this warning? Like, it was kind of scary, right?
Yeah.
So, and it was actually passed by direct voter initiative in 1986, and it's called the Proposition 65. And when you go to this restaurant, it reads this warning. I'm going to read it literally, what it says. It says, warning, this product contains chemicals known to the state of California to cause cancer and birth defects or other reproductive harm. So when you go to different restaurants or grocery stores, you can read this label or this warning. So the FDA actually in more recent time, like a few weeks ago actually, it was published in the news that the FDA is planning to phase out petroleum-based food dyes, which are also known as certified color additives, from the American food supply. So that's a plan that is ongoing right now, and we're hoping that it can make, you know, our lives better. So it marks a significant milestone in the efforts to protect the public of this administration. You know, I think it's very important that we reduce exposure to substances like these.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a huge change. That's great. There are also many products that do still contain BPA analogs, as stated prior, right? Like BPS and BPF, which are the cousins of BPA, they could still be present even in BPA-free products. So they're not yet well regulated. So I think future research is still needed for those chemicals as well. But this is where a clinician advocacy matters, where we can guide public opinion and support legislative change.
Yeah. So as a reminder, you know, millions of pounds of toxic substances are produced by many industries in the U.S. every day. You know, millions of pounds every year. So as physicians, we have to stay informed and update our patients. So Cameron, I think we are getting to the end of this episode, and I'm very happy that you brought this information to us. So how can we wrap up this episode, Cameron?
Yeah, of course. So some conclusion and takeaways. So just an overall summary. So BPA is a hormone disruptor that is indeed hiding in plain sight. And again, people are exposed to BPA every day. It's whether a person realizes it or not, it's still there. But to make those small lifestyle changes can dramatically reduce it. And as well, family medicine does have indeed a role in education, prevention, and advocacy for patients in the community. So it's imperative that we all be part of the solution for our health and future generations. Also, Stanley Tumblers are not sponsoring this episode, and we did not receive any money from them. Just to put that out there. But
yeah. But those are good, right?
Yeah. Oh, those are great. Yeah.
So because there are Stanley still inside. And they isolate your water very well.
Yeah. And even if you leave it in the heat or hot car, it's not going to leach any.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's it for today. So, thank you for listening to Rio Bravo Q Week. And if you enjoyed this episode, share it with a colleague or medical student who may need to know more about BPA. So, I'm Dr. Arriaza, signing off.
Yeah. And hopefully in the future, I can join you on another podcast, Dr. Arriaza, to discuss more endocrine disrupting chemicals. Thanks for listening again. Have a great day. Thank you.
Even without trying, every night you go to bed a little wiser. Thanks for listening to Rio Bravo Q Week podcast. We want to hear from you. Send us an email at riobravoqweek@clinicasierravista.org or visit our website, riobravo.fmrp.org/QWeek. See you next week.